Welcome to another episode of the Shine Podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Starr. Today, I'm especially excited because I have a fabulous woman on as a guest, and also she is from the Midwest, which means we get to talk fast and have a lot of conversation in a little bit of time. Ryan Dowdy has developed a passion for creating communities where strong, determined women can band together and find fulfillment in all areas of their lives, meaning both personal and in business. She's the founder of Be in the Room, and it's her mission to connect and inspire the next generation of all female leaders. So let's welcome Ryan Dowdy. Welcome, Ryan, to the Shine Podcast. I've been looking forward to our conversation, and after digging in and stalking into all the amazing things that you've done, both in your built community and for others, I'm excited to talk about more redefining leadership and what that looks like. Especially when I read that you were chasing a dream that wasn't necessarily yours, I really felt that could connect with a lot of people. So real quick, I come from a tiny town in Minnesota, and though I haven't lived there in like 12 years and lived all over, it seems like the thing to do was to get married, have children, have a job that just fulfills the needs monetarily, and then serve where you're called to, and which is honestly a wonderful life. I think it's beautiful. But I know for many, that's not necessarily the structure we feel called to. And for myself, I've definitely veered more away from that normal quote life. And although for myself, it's extremely fulfilling, I feel like I'm more intentional with my decisions. And I know that many would feel alone or misplaced. So I want to hear more about that and what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I am Ryan Dowdy. So thank you so much for asking that question. And I just wanted to kind of share a little bit about that idea of, and you're so right, I grew up in a small town in Kansas, so probably wasn't too different
than no.
a small town in Minnesota. That was it. We were pushed to pursue career, we were pushed to pursue different things, but never really, you know, to really dream big or think big, right? So I literally did everything prescribed. I went a little above and beyond. I was an athlete, right? So I did push a little bit more. But yeah, it was just go to college, get married, you know, have babies. A lot of people I know still live in this small town, and there's nothing wrong with it. But I think what happens to so many of us, even those of us that kind of break outside of that traditional model, choose to go the career path, still we're not really empowered to think about, like, but why? Mm-hmm. And what kind of career? Mm-hmm. And what would make you happy? And how do you find that fulfilling? And so it kind of left me in this place. I like to tell people I woke up at like 34 and was like, what am I doing with my life? Like, how did I get here? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love that what you kind of said about that. And so what kind of tools do you think could help us maybe learn those long-term intentional decisions that we're making? And I know that's going to look different for every person, but what kind of tools do you think that we could be using to help that feel good for our life down the line?
So I don't know if they're so much as tools as just really questions to ask, right? Like I always now ask myself the question, like, why am I doing this? So if I find myself frustrated, overwhelmed, like looking at my calendar and just being like, but why, right? Like, why am I doing this particular thing? So the biggest tool I can give you is really your own discernment and your own judgment, right? Like if something doesn't feel good, there's typically a reason why. Like if it feels heavy to go to a meeting with this person every single week, like say you have a consistent meeting on your calendar, right? And you're like, oh, every time I look at it, it just feels heavy. Like typically something's wrong. Like that's the tool. That is the built-in, like your body is like, something's wrong, right? So I think for me, the tools are to just question everything. Right? Why do we do this? Why do we do it this way? Why am I growing my business this way? Why do I want to do this? Why am I setting up service delivery this way? Why am I willing to work these hours? Am I willing to answer this email at this time? Like, and I know that sounds obnoxious. So like a small child who's just like,
why?
But I mean, that's the only tool that I can think of is like, but why? Like if you're ever doing something you do not enjoy, asking yourself, why am I doing this? And sometimes we have to do things we don't like. This is not a lesson in like, everything's butterflies and rainbows and perfect all of the time. It's a lesson in, is this moving me closer to where I want to go? Or is this just a box that I'm checking or something that I've been told that I have to do or I think is required of me to get where I want to go?
No, that totally makes sense. I think a lot of people, though, don't even take the time, not a lot, but there's definitely a percentage that don't even take the time to reflect that of why. It's just that built-in traditional model, like you said. So that's really interesting to just ask those questions. And as far as leadership, I know that you've really had the opportunity to lead and grow. And what would you say are the ways that maybe we think of leadership traditionally and ways that maybe we don't even think about leading, but we can lead as women?
Yeah. So at least for me, in my experience, and the women that I serve, and the communities that I'm a part of, is leadership still feels very traditional, mm-hmm. right? It's the very traditional corporate hierarchical, you know, the instruction, the vision comes from the top down, and we just do what we're told, and we don't ask a lot of questions, and we don't think outside of the box, and our ideas aren't really valued, and, you know, we just do the things that we're told, and we go home, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's very much how we were conditioned. At least I know that I was, right? Put your head down, work hard, you know, all of those things that we are taught to do. And while, you know, it's gotten us to this point, we obviously have a problem. What's happening in the world right now tells us that something in the system is broken. But unfortunately, as women, we don't have a lot of examples of strong female leadership. Right? It's very much like, think about it. Like, when you think of like movies, just off the top of your head, and like, all the female leaders, the ones that I always think of, are like The Devil Wears Prada, mm-hmm. or that movie The Proposal with like Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock, right? Like the leader, the female leader is always crazy, right? Yes. She's demanding, she's irrational, she, you know, she's unreasonable, she's emotional, right? Like, that's how female leadership is portrayed. So here we are as women with this amazing opportunity to start businesses and run businesses from the comfort of our home and do amazing things. And we have no examples of how to lead in a way that feels good to us. Mm-hmm. Because all the female examples of leadership don't look like too much fun. And many of us have been led by male leaders where we're like, you know, I don't think I want to emulate that. So how do I lead in a way that feels good to me? I don't even know what that looks like.
Right. That's so interesting you say that, because this is a whole different topic, but it reminds me of why, especially women that I've seen, mm-hmm. don't want to necessarily, they're kind of afraid to make a lot of money, I guess, in a flat right. way to say it. And a lot of it, when I hear it, tends to come back to, well, they don't like what they're seeing in those people who are mm-hmm. making a lot of money, which are those top tier leaders, like you said, that we think of, you have to be mean and rude and stomp your way to the top. And really, I think of leading like a true leader, now that I've been put in that position, and I'm sure you agree, is actually more serving. It's not just saying, I have the answers. It's more serving in the community and giving with building and learning that you still don't know most of what you thought, and leading through encouraging. So what are some ways that you feel you encourage women in your community to then lead? Because I know you have such a great community.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is very much exactly what you just said, right? Like, leadership is service, right? Mm-hmm. And leadership is about inspiring others, right? Like, I view my job as the leader of my company is to bring out the best of the people who work for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and like, how can I make them help them be the best version of themselves and also help them hit their goals, right? And that's completely different, because even I was a leader in the corporate world before I became an entrepreneur, right? And I can't even tell you then, and that wasn't that long ago, that I was in that leadership role. And it was very much about, like, these are the company's goals. This is what we're going to do. This is where we're going. I really care too much about you while we get there. Let's just go do it, right? But, you know, now sitting in the seat of business owner and CEO, it's all about, okay, your goal is this. How do I help you get there, mm-hmm. right? Like, what? How can working here be part of that? And even if it's not working here forever, right? I'm also realistic in that aspect. But how can I, you know, help fuel you in a way that you feel good and you feel like when you leave your job here, you can go home and be the best version of yourself at home. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's really what we talk about. That's what we teach. How do we do that? How do we create those environments? How do we create those cultures? How do we really think about, you know, what do we want? And for those of you listening right now where you're like, I just, you know, I'm brand new to business, or I'm just trying to get out of this full-time job, or I don't even want employees. Because it's funny, you say, you hear a lot of women say they don't want to make a lot of money. I hear a lot of women say they don't want teams. They don't want employees. They don't want the pressure. And for those of you, but even if you're just a business owner, you're still leading your clients, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care what you do, whether you are a photographer or a hairdresser or a virtual assistant or a marketing agency, you're still leading your clients, right? They still see you as the expert in what you do. They still, you still have to inspire them to like give you their money, right? One way we're all leading. So you can do that in an uncomfortable way, or you can do it in a comfortable way. You get to choose.
I really like that. Yeah, that's so interesting that you say that that's what you kind of hear is the team thing. Yeah. That's what do you think led you? And I know you kind of touched on this, but even more so to be so passionate about building a community for women. And then tell us what that community looks like, because I know you have a few things going on with that and how they grow and how they connect.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think that the reason I'm so passionate about community for women is to have conversations like this one. Right? Because when I was leading a team in the corporate world, you know, it was a small company, right? 25 employees, couple, you know, $4 million in revenue. Our leadership team existed of the CEO of the company, myself, and a vice president of like ops or client service, I don't remember his title. But anyway, you know, that was it. There were no other women to talk to that were not women that reported to me in some capacity or saw me as a leader in the company. There was nowhere else to go to talk about what was happening, mm-hmm. right? Like, what's going on? This is how I feel. This is what I'm seeing. I realized very quickly that I wasn't being a great leader, but I didn't know how to do it differently because I didn't have a good example. So if I would have had a place, not to say that I would have left the corporate world or anything like that, or I'm sad that I did, but I didn't have anywhere to go to talk, like to ask, what the hell am I doing? Am I doing this right? Like, I think that guy's kind of a jerk, but I don't know what to do about it because, you know, so there was just nowhere to go to have those types of conversations. And so that to me is why I feel like it's so important, is because if we don't talk about it because we think it's normal or because it's acceptable or because there's nobody to talk to about it, it just keeps on happening, mm-hmm. right? We continue the path of crappy leadership and companies that are poorly run that don't create spaces for women to be successful or to thrive or to support their life in any capacity. So that community is A, so we can have these conversations, so we can change the narrative, so we can build companies that don't look like the companies we all just left, mm-hmm. right? Like, we all left corporate for a reason. We all became entrepreneurs for a reason. Many of us because we weren't being served in that capacity because it didn't meet our needs or our inspiration in any way. So that's kind of, you know, why I'm so passionate about that community, and also to really end the story of competition. So I don't know your whole background, so I don't know if you started in corporate, but in the corporate world, you know, we were very much given the narrative of, you know, there's only so many seats at the table and, you know, only X number of those seats belong to women. So if you wanted there to get there over that woman, you had to win. You had to beat her. You could not collaborate with her. You had to beat her. You had to compete with her. And so it starts this thing, and I see it happening in business owners, right? Like, I want to be better than that woman. Instead of like, I want us all to be amazing and all of us to do really great things and all of us to serve our clients. It's this competition to win, and competition breeds scarcity, right? It's this idea that there we're going to run out of seats at the table. We're going to run out of, you know, something. And I don't believe that that's true. So that's kind of another reason why I'm so passionate about it, is that when we lock arms, you know, and we actually support one another and collaborate and share ideas and share new perspectives, there's like this idea thing that happens that's so fun and it's so rewarding, and it kind of limits that story of not enough, or, you know, if I win, she loses, or if she wins, I lose.
Right. And I think that's so huge, especially like you said, for women in business who own small businesses. As a photographer, every time I moved, it was like, where are the photographers who also want everyone else to win? Because there's enough clientele. There's definitely enough. And we all have different niches anyway. So, you know, what I love is if you can build that community, no matter what business you're in, you might not be the person that client reaches out to, but if you have that community built, now you can help each other grow as well and find their ideal client, their ideal photographer, you know, whatever they're looking for. And so I think it's so important. And I know you have a great online community that you have. And will you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So Be in the Room is the name of the community that I run. And so we call it a conscious leadership collective. So it really is a space for smart, successful women to come together and have open, honest, and vulnerable conversations about what that looks like. Mm. And so we do this, and we have two different kind of formats to our membership. We have our mastermind level membership, where we meet a little bit more frequently. We're adding in some in-person components to that. That tends to be somebody who's maybe a little bit more established, either in business or in their careers. And again, it's all peer-to-peer collaboration. So I like to tell people that, like, we took the guru out of the room, this idea that one person should have all of the answers or one person should be able to guide everybody in the same direction, started to kind of feel funny to me, right? I was like, why is this happening? Like, of course, you know, you're a photographer. Your business looks completely different than mine. The way you market your business, the way you connect with people, the way you serve people. And how cool would it be to hear about your business? And like, oh, yeah, I've never thought about doing it that way, but I could probably take what she's doing and modify it over here, right? So so that's kind of what we do at that mastermind level. And then we also have just a membership level for women who are either newer to their careers, newer to business, or just newer to me, and you're not ready to commit for a full year. And that space is, we meet a little bit less frequently. We bring in some guest experts. We do some master classes. There's a little bit more education in that that community, but a lot of connection and support. And again, that idea sharing of what's working for you, what's not working for you, how can I support you, how can I lift you up, how can we collaborate, how can we do that? So really just about this idea of collaboration.
I really love that. Especially like, I mean, I've been in business now 14 years, but I'm still learning. And every time I move a new state, it's more learning and restarting. And so what do you feel is like typically missing from a community when it comes to women. I know for myself, it's been the hardest part of living in Florida, actually. When I started over alone, it took me probably almost 4 years to actually build friendships that I felt we were investing in one another and pouring in one another. So what do you feel maybe is missing in a lot of the women communities that way?
So, because I only found two types of communities, and I don't like to paint in broad brushstrokes because I don't know all of them, right? There were networking communities, right, which are very much designed for business growth, right? Mm-hmm. I scratch your back, you scratch mine, who do you know, referrals, right? That's very sales driven, and I love that. I mm-hmm. love to network. I taught sales for years. Like, I'm a huge fan, but I saw a lot of that. And then I see a lot of these coaching communities, right, which are very, you know, driven typically by an ideology, a way to grow a business, a format, or something of some kind. And again, great in a lot of ways, but then typically come with a little bit higher price tag and also come with this like idea that every, you know, might be all photographers in this group, or it might be all marketers in this group, or whatever type of business that you have, they tend to be kind of niche. And while that's fantastic for learning, it's not always fantastic for community building and collaboration, mm-hmm. right? So to me, those are typically the things that we see most often, which means that idea of just a space to connect and collaborate and share ideas doesn't really exist, right? There's a lot of spaces full of women right now, which I love. It makes me so happy. But it doesn't necessarily fill, at least I couldn't find one that allowed me to do all of those things, right? To show up as a business owner and to show up as a mom, right? To show up as a business owner and, you know, talk about things going on with my aging parents, or to, you know, talk about things that go on behind the scenes, or talk about, you know, challenges that I was having, you know, inside of the business or with balancing something, or just, you know, the emotional crap that goes into being a business owner. I really wanted to create a space where it wasn't just the business version of you, it was all of you, mm-hmm. right? Because this whole business versus personal stuff that they talk about, I just, to me, doesn't ring true. Like, I'm just one human, just sometimes I'm working and sometimes I'm momming mm-hmm. and sometimes I'm wiping and sometimes I'm hiding from the world, I don't know, right? But I want to be able to do all of those things and be seen for all of those things. And yeah. that's what I felt was missing, is that I could plug into a community and I could get something out of it, but I couldn't show up as the fullest version.
So I know that you would probably agree, like, with the relationship part of communities. And what I've really found is every time I move to a new state, it wasn't the networking thing, like you said. Networking is great, the scratching backs, but it wasn't always as genuine. Maybe it was, here's my business card, send me some business. And what I found is if I go into everything as relationships, yep. it takes longer usually, because you're not going to get business from the person you're meeting. It's going to be someone they know that they know that they know. But it is found to be so much more growth inspired rather than just quick, give me one client. Mm-hmm. And what do you kind of feel about that? Because I know you agree with the relationship part.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've built my entire, I'm on the third iteration of my business at this point in the game, and I built them all on relationships and trust and service. And so I think that that is such an important part of anything, community, business, life in general, is like real true relationships. I believe that we as humans were not meant to do life alone, that we mm-hmm. thrive in connection, that we thrive in community, that we thrive in, you know, a space where, you know, I would say when I was teaching sales that like our most basic human need is to feel seen, heard, and understood. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I mean, it all comes back to that. And it's so hard to do, because we live in that instant gratification society, right? Like the Amazon Prime, give it to me now, like have to have it immediately. And so, you know, this part of our life moves fast and furious, but then we're told to like slow down and connect and build relationships. And you're like, I some days, you know, have to remind myself to brush my teeth. And now you want me to like spend time building these relationships. And mm-hmm. so I think it's almost like this dichotomy of what we're told as professional women, like faster, stronger, more, but slow down. Connect, build relationships, build genuine. You're like, which one is it?
I can only do so much. It was so, even when I moved here, which was, it's interesting. I started to write about this once, even when I would do marketing, like print marketing, I would always think like, okay, if I get a client from this, great. And what turned out to be is I never got clients from print marketing, but instead if I used it as a tool to then go to whatever event I was included in, because I did that marketing, that's where I was going to start meeting people. And so even that like shift of, I am purchasing a marketing print and I should get clients. And it's like, no, who are those people that you're going to meet and where are you going to get to because of that? And that's been huge for me. That's the only reason I got to work for several magazines, is just doing that. Right. So I love hearing that, but you're right. We can't do it all the time and be expected to be this person this day and a different person. It should be that relationship building of that whole that you are. So I really love that. And on your website too, I think you talked a little bit about like rebelling against the status quo. And can you kind of give some examples of what that looks like, even if it's small things, and how that maybe affects our confidence when we do those?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, it kind of goes back to that whole idea of building a life that, you know, that was successful on paper and not mine, right? So to me, rebelling against the status quo is looking at what we're told we should do, and like we, the collective we, right? Like from a society perspective, this is the path to success, or these are the things that you should do. But really looking at those and being like, that doesn't feel good, but I don't want to do that. But that doesn't light me up, but that doesn't serve me in any way. But that's not really what excites me. That doesn't feel aligned to me. So when we talk about rebelling at the status quo, we talk about really sticking true to like yourself and your values and your goals, which is sadly rebellious, right? Like, what am I supposed to do, we're told? So that's really what we talk about. And so there's a lot of different ways that we do that. And I'll give you some small examples of women in our community. One woman in particular, I actually just found out last week, she took the executive role, but she was a vice president in a company, and was offered an opportunity to promote several times and turned down the opportunity because her kids were young and she wanted to be more present with her children. Right. And that is, you know, you don't say no to a promotion. Like, what? You don't do that. You know, and she said, no, I'm not ready. Instead of feeling like, oh my gosh, if I don't say yes now, this opportunity will never present itself. She instead took this, the abundant mindset of like when the timing is right, right? Like all in divine timing. So that's one example. My personal example is like, I'm the breadwinner in my family. My husband stays home with our kids. Mm-hmm. We jokingly, you know, tell people that Kevin is a project manager and like, I am the project. he runs our house. He's the primary parent. He gets the phone calls from school. He handles the doctor. My kids have been sick for the past 2 weeks and he's handled all of that. And so that's, you know, obviously completely against your traditional gender role. So we have just a lot of different small nuances like that. Women choosing to, you know, keep their businesses small so they can spend more time with their kids. Women choosing to take their businesses to the moon while their kids are little. So when their kids are teenagers, they can spend more time with them, right? Like, really, sadly, this idea of rebelling against the status quo is really just saying, I'm going to play by my own rules, regardless of what's acceptable or expected.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think I know what you might say a little bit to this next question that I had for you, but it popped up. I had to ask it anyway. So I know there's so many paths and there's going to be a lot of opinions about this one. But if we're feeling like we want to lead in some sort of way or find a different purpose, it doesn't have to be the only purpose in our life, but maybe that seasonal purpose, or to build community and serve and lead, what's something that you would suggest to the women listening to start down that path of purpose or, you know, somehow to lead?
That's a really great question, because it's funny. I just finished listening to a book and they were talking about purpose. And I think we make purpose this thing that we think is going to like, you know, like somebody's going to hit us over the head with it someday. And like purpose is an evolution. Like you said, every season of life looks different. And so if you're in the space where you're feeling called, it's listening to the call, right? Like that's really, I think, the most powerful thing we can do. And I don't mean that in like a weird woo way, unless that's your thing.
No, that's good. You're good.
But I mean it in the space of like, if an idea keeps popping up, right? Like if you see something on social media and every time you see it, you're like, damn it, I really want to do da 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 da, right? Like don't ignore it. Right. If you wake up one morning, like in the middle of the night and you're like, oh, I should do did it, like write it down. Like I find, you know, it's our intuition. But I think that, you know, those ideas, we so frequently push them aside. I'm too busy. I don't have time. That's silly. I can't make money doing that. I'm on this path. I'm doing this other thing. We're constantly, you know, we beg God for answers and for ideas, and then we get them and then we're too busy. Like literally that's what we do. What's wrong with the world? So to me, to start down the path is to listen to the ideas and learn to trust yourself. Trust that that idea came from past experience. Trust that that idea is there for a reason. And whether or not you take that idea and run with it, because I'm a manifesting generator in human design and I start new businesses in my head every day and I'm aware that I should not do that. But, you know, I still write the ideas down because at some point or another, that idea is gonna serve me in some capacity. So it's not this idea that we have to take action on every inkling that we have. It's this idea that like, start paying attention, start paying attention, like the things that inspire you. Every time you see this, you get excited about it. Every time this happens, you love it. If you, you know, love hosting dinner parties, every time you have your house full of people, it like makes your heart happy. Like pay attention to that. Like, huh, I wonder what this is about. Like, how can I use this in service of other people? Or what is this skill set telling me, or what am I learning in this moment? So I guess that was a very long answer of like, just really listen to yourself and not judging the ideas and the nudges and like the intuitive pings that you get because you don't have time or they feel silly or you don't feel like you know what you're doing. Like, listen, write them down. I like literally have a notes app on my phone that if anybody read it, like heaven forbid I die and somebody goes, we're in bad shape, right? It's just like everything. I'm like, I'm just going to write it down. You never know what's going to come back. Mm-hmm. And it almost always does in some way, shape or form. Or I'm like, ooh, that idea was for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I'll write it down and I'll talk to somebody. And I'm like, ha, that's where that idea was for you. So just finding a space to kind of download those intuitive things. Like I said, for me, it's just the notes app on my phone. Mm-hmm. Nothing fancy or anything like that. But like jotting that stuff down and paying attention to how different activities throughout your day make you feel. Or can be really powerful kind of guideposts for where you want to go.
First of all, you're speaking to my heart with the notes thing, because I have, you know, my physical one, my notes one, and my notes one has like, here's personal and business and random, all this thing. And it really helps me to write those even random thoughts down that I hear on a podcast or read in a book, because I can get them out of my head. And then when they're used, it's like, there it is. I knew I would need it. It's out of my head and I can focus on whatever. So I love that. I also really love what you said about, believing that the purpose is basically just going to hit you in the head and that opportunity is going to be there, which sometimes opportunities arise, absolutely. But like you said, many of us feel like, oh, we should pray about it and then do nothing. And instead, we have to still work at some of those ideas, and not every single one, like you said, but just start paying attention about what comes up again and again as something on our heart to be living out. And it doesn't have to be your purpose for your entire life. Like as a photographer, I've been doing it for 14 years, but if I stop at some point, I wouldn't feel bad about it. And it was just supposed to be a long, long season kind of thing. So yeah.
I love that attitude, because so many of us are so wrapped up in the identity of our careers mm-hmm. that, you know, for some people, the idea of not being a photographer anymore, oh my God, right?
But right.
Like, yeah, this is a season. And if this opportunity presents itself, it's actually funny, going back to our obsession with notes, I have my notes app over on this other screen over here. And one of them, it literally says, you don't find inspiration, you create it. Mm-hmm. Like inspiration comes from within. I think that's what we think with, like, so many people, especially female business owners I hear, they're like, I'm waiting for the idea, or I'm looking, or I'm working on. I'm like, you're waiting for somebody to hit you overhead and it'd be like, da da da, here's the thing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you have to create the thing. You have to go out and get dirty and get messy and experiment and do all this stuff, and it will get clearer and clearer and clearer. As you take action.
Yes. Oh, I completely agree. And bringing that into something you said at the very beginning is the action, it wasn't exactly, but the action that you take might not even be what you're going to use in the future, but everything you do along the way is going to help mold that thing. So I think about, I do paddleboarding. Well, I do that for me, but then it strikes up an idea for business and it strikes this. And so even as I'm trying to find things that I love and I invest in personally, as long as I'm still doing the action of things I love and listening intentionally, I think it can be used at some point, even if it's just for joy. It doesn't matter, but yes.
Mm-hmm. I love that too. I think, and I know that I was super guilty of this early on in my business journey of like everything had to be part of the business. And mm-hmm. it's like, this is part of the business. Sometimes it could just be your jam.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you can just do it because you enjoy it and it brings you joy and it makes you happy. And when you are doing something you enjoy and you're doing something that makes you happy, that is where you're more creative and ideas come from. And you randomly meet somebody out and about that, you know, ties these three things together. Yes. Because you're actually doing something you like and enjoy. Those are like kind of those synchronicities and those coincidences that tend to happen when we lean into those things.
Absolutely. And then I feel like that ties right into marketing, because when you're doing the things you love, it usually brings about your ideal client, whatever that looks like, because they also tend to love some of the things you love as well, which is what brings them in. So that's incredible. Is there anything, and this is a super broad question, but is there anything that you would love to share with the women today? Maybe just starting out in business, maybe something to forget or something to remember or to get to or to relax, whatever you kind of feel would be something good to leave them with.
Yeah. And I think actually you said this earlier on, is this idea that like, there's no one way to do it, right? If you are a high achiever and you're smart and you're successful, which I know you are because you're listening to this, you're very good at being good at what you do. And so you do not like to do things that you are not good at. And when you start a business, like most beginners aren't good. That's just it. Like most beginners aren't good. So it's really letting go of this idea of perfection and having all the pieces put together and finding the exact right path and the exact right strategy and the exact right thing, other than to just start. And it's exactly what we just talked about, right? Like the things, you know, it's take one step and the next step appears. Like we want to see the entire staircase, and that's not really the way that it works, right? It's one step at a time. So for me, it's just really letting go of that control. And I feel very comfortable telling you that because it was the hardest part for me.
Yes.
Right? Because coming from corporate America, my goals were given to me, right? Mm-hmm. Like I knew the whole damn stair. Like I knew exactly where I was going, what I was doing, and the next step in the career path, and where, like I knew those were given to us, right? Society has taught us that, right? Here's the path, follow the path. Here's the ladder, climb the ladder. Mm-hmm. And now we're like, screw the damn ladder. Like you just need the next step. And that's terrifying because we've never operated in that capacity. But I will tell you that need for the desire to see the whole ladder is actually keeping you stuck.
Absolutely.
It's actually keeping you where you are right now. So I am giving you permission to like one step at a time, whatever it is you're working towards.
Yes. Oh, that is absolutely right. That has been something over the past decade-ish that I've had to work on in business, but I've also learned I'm not very good at it even in my personal life. I just started snowboarding last year. And my poor boyfriend had to see me crying on top of the mountain because I wasn't good at it. And I hadn't done it in 15 years. And I expected to be great, which is ridiculous. It's not even reasonable, to be honest. But so I totally get that. That spoke right to me, a little conviction for me. So thank you for that. How can we find you, reach you, connect with you, and maybe even want to jump into some of your groups if you want to share those?
Absolutely. So our website is beintheroom.org. We do have a free Facebook community called Be in the Room. So Facebook is your platform of choice. You're welcome to come join us there. On Instagram, we're at Be in the Room Official. On Facebook and LinkedIn, I'm Ryan Dowdy. So I'm an open networker. I do have a really great resource. So one of the things that I built this year is an ebook called The Self-Leadership Principles, right? This idea that like we have to lead ourselves before we can lead others. It leads into kind of the earlier part of our conversation that we had here today, which you are welcome to check out, kind of walks through six key principles of like, how do we figure out this purpose stuff? Like, where am I going? Who do I want to be? What goals do I have? It really speaks to that. So that is uncensoredconsulting.com/ leadership. I'm going to double check that. Yep. uncensoredconsulting.com/leadership. I was very convicted. And then like halfway through those words, I was like nope.
Sweat. Yeah.
uncensoredconsulting.com/leadership. You can download that ebook. And it really walks you through a lot of questions, a lot of exercises. It's not going to a ton of reading. It's going to give you some concepts and then really kind of allow you to dig into yourself a little bit. Who am I? What do I want to do? How do I build that self-trust, that self-awareness, that emotional intelligence? It's really going to drive me in my career. So that is a great resource for
Perfect.
You.
I'll put those in the notes too, just in case they can't find them right now where they're at. You had a beautiful voice singing that. So thank you. That was gorgeous. I love that.
You tell my mom right now. Mom, somebody just told me. It's a joke that we can't sing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you sounded lovely in that note that you held out. And they're not going to be able to see this, but you had some good moves for it, too. So thank you so much for everything. You are absolutely lovely. I've been so excited to chat with you. So thank you,
awesome.
Ryan.
Thank you for the opportunity. Mm-hmm.
I so enjoyed our conversation today and feel a little bit bad that you guys didn't get to see some of her dance moves and movements while we were talking. She's absolutely fabulous. And if you would like to follow her and even join some of her communities that she has, I'm going to be sending those in the link in the bio and even on the blog post too so that you can find her. And I hope you got something out of it too, because I know I always do with these kind of conversations that it just helps reiterate what leadership really looks like and how I can better serve the community that I have, whether that's in business or just at home with my friendships and relationships. I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, keep shining. Hold on one second. I want to stop you right there. If you own a business or have a personal brand and do not use a client management software that you absolutely love, I want to tell you about HoneyBook. Now, I actually got started through HoneyBook and this software because of another podcaster and the referral program that they use. So I got a percent off for my first year and fell in love with it. And now I want to tell you about it. HoneyBook does so much for my business. First of all, I don't know how to explain it, but more clients are tipping me, more clients are paying all their invoices on time.
And it is a beautiful way to showcase all of your contracts, payments, proposals, and so much more in a creative and beautiful way. You can manage your projects, books, clients, send those invoices, and get paid all on HoneyBook. And they're always coming out with new features, which I absolutely adore. And right now with my referral link, I can get you 50% off the first year, which is incredible. And that is through share.honeybook.com/ShaunaStar. Shauna Star is ShaunaStar. I am also going to be putting it in the notes because I absolutely believe in them and want to share it with you. So you can get 50% off with that code, and it would mean so much. I would love to hear if you use HoneyBook already, love it, what you think. So head to the link or go straight to share.honeybook.com/ShaunaStar. Thank you so much.